The Bible does teach us that our three great enemies are Satan, also called the devil, the evil one, which means the adversary and the great accuser, together with the world and then our own flesh. The Bible also teaches us that God is sovereign over all things. He is sovereign even over the activities of Satan and what Satan is able to do. The way all of this works in terms of trials and temptations is laid out in some detail for us in the book of Job, as we see Satan coming before God and making accusations against Job. But Satan makes these accusations against Job only after God has called Job to Satan's attention. He said, "Have you seen my servant Job, a man who is righteous and faithful in all of his ways?" Of course, he wasn't saying that he was perfect. What he was saying is that he was a man who walked with God, the man of faith, and therefore that godliness and righteousness showed up in his life. And then Satan makes the accusation. He says, "Well, it's because you've blessed him. You've blessed him. You've given him all of these good things." And then God says, "Behold, he is in your hands, but don't touch him himself. Don't touch his health." And we know that that scenario is repeated because Job continues to walk with God even though Satan afflicts him by taking his family away from him. His children are killed. His business goes to pot. And Job continues to bless God and to be faithful. And then God calls Job again to Satan's attention. And Satan says, "Well, skin for skin, a man will give anything for his own life. You take his health away and he'll curse you to his face." And once again, God says, "He is in your hand, but do not take his life." And so Satan takes Job's health and does so in the most painful and debasing way. But still, Job continues to bless God. He says, "Naked came I from the womb, naked shall I return from whence I came. The Lord has given, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And we know through this that Job is sustained by a great faith that has a lot more content to it than we might imagine, because he says, I know that in the end, I know that my Redeemer lives, and I shall see him myself. I shall see him myself. And so faith in God's salvation and in the resurrection. But this shows us through the story of Job that Satan is a very active and malevolent a power against us. But God is sovereign over that. God uses all that happens to Job to bless Job. He uses that to cause Job to walk with him even more faithfully, to grow more deeply, to know God more profoundly than he ever could have otherwise. And in the end, Job is more blessed than he was to start with. And Job blesses God even more profusely than he did to start with. And so we see that what Satan intends for evil, and that's what a temptation is, a temptation to do evil. What Satan intends for evil, God uses for good. And that's why the Bible speaks both of temptations, which are pulling us to do something evil, and trials. Every trial involves a temptation. If it doesn't involve a temptation, it's not a trial. Right? It wouldn't be tough, it wouldn't be a hardship, if there's no temptation to sin involved in it somewhere. But the purpose of the trial is not for us to do evil. The purpose of the trial is not for us to fail. The purpose of the trial is for us to succeed and to be stronger and to know God more deeply and to be blessed more profoundly. These things work together. But God wants us to pray as we look at all this. He doesn't want us to become haughty. He wants us to pray and ask him for the strength to lead us not unto temptation to do evil, but to deliver us from the evil one who wants us to do exactly that, to do evil. We see this again played out in the life of Peter, because when Jesus begins telling the disciples point blank that he's going to be delivered up and betrayed and he's going to be crucified, and Peter is saying, no way. And Jesus says, you're all going to walk away from me. It doesn't mean they're all going to betray him. Only Judas is going to betray him, but they're all going to scatter. And Peter says, not me. Even if everybody else scatters, I will not. I will not forsake you. I will not leave you. And Jesus says, Peter, this very night, before the cock crows three times, you will deny me three times. And he tells Peter, he says, Satan wants to sift you. And I think this is part of Jesus teaching us to pray this prayer. We're supposed to be confident in God, but we're not supposed to be haughty in ourselves. Peter is saying, no way, I will never fall. I will never stumble. I will never betray you. And Jesus is saying, Satan says, I want him. That guy with the big mouth, that's the one I want. He's perfect. And Jesus is telling that. He says, you should be praying. You should be praying. And what does Jesus say to Peter? I have prayed for you. I have prayed for you that you're going to stumble, but you're not ultimately going to fall. Jesus personally restores Peter. Later on, after Jesus is resurrected, of course, Peter is delighted to see Jesus, but there's this thing there because Peter knows that he denied him, and in spite of his boasting, he denied him. And Jesus, in that great conversation recorded in the Gospel of John, says, Peter, do you love me? He says, yes, I love you. And then he asks him again. Peter, you know, three times he denied him, three times he asked him, do you love him? And he asks him the third time, do you love me? And Peter is grieved. He says, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And it's funny what Jesus keeps saying. Every time Peter says, yes, I love you, Jesus says, feed my lambs. In other words, part of seeing the big picture and part of receiving forgiveness in these things, part of coming out of it, part of understanding that God's grace is bigger than us, is just coming around to see, well, it's not about me after all. It's not about me after all. The big issue in the Bible is not whether God's grace and love are sufficient to forgive my sins. Because at the end of the day, you know what? There's nothing special about my sin. There's nothing special about it. And believing that we can't be forgiven when we do stumble, it's actually a form of pride, even though it seems like a great humility. Oh, woe is me. God can never forgive me. That's actually pride. You think your sin is so special above everybody else who's ever lived? It's not. God's grace is like a great tsunami. It is so much bigger than any of our sin. It just washes right over the top of it. So these are all things to remember as we walk through this life and we face trials, all of which involve temptations. But remember, God gives us the trial so that we succeed, not so that we fail. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.